Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
We welcome in our good friend. He's presented by HornSolutions.net each and every week on the program. John McClain, the general, the Hall of Famer, and a proud Baylor Bear today, joining us on the program as he always does. John, good morning. Go ahead and gloat, John. Go ahead and do it.
Well, I'm not going to gloat. I'm just going to say, as someone who started going to Baylor basketball and football games when I was a Cub Scout when I was 8 years old and has been a big fan of those teams, and I've been to so many games back on their old campus gym, their old Art of Texas Coliseum, Farrell Center. Now they're building a new building. It's the perfect time. And as I said on my talk show, Waco, yesterday, they need to build statues outside the new building for Kim Mulkey, who's won 3 national championships, and Scott Drew, who's won 1. And never did in my wildest imagination did I ever dream of the Baylor men winning a national championship, especially where the program was when Scott Drew got there 18 years ago. And people like your son, Sammy, who's been there for national championships in both sports, Sugar Bowl and football, they must think, wow, you know, this is great. Man, that's all I know is championships and success. But, boy, many of us have suffered a lot, celebrated a lot through the decades, but I'm very proud of those fighting Baylor Bears to just destroy Gonzaga the way they did Gonzaga. And I was hoping that if Baylor didn't win it, the Cougars would. And Kelvin Sampson has done such a great job. I'm sure they'll be back. And they had a tremendous season. And so I'm just glad one of them did to bring the state of Texas our second NCAA men's basketball title, and only the second men's title in Baylor history.
Yeah.
Well, and that's you know, key perspective too, that for Sammy, who has experienced basketball greatness as an undergrad, and you, who experienced other greatness, the really valuable thing is that you're both devout Baptists, and you got to bathe yourself in that environment for 4 years.
Well, I'm not a Baptist, and you don't have to be a Baptist to go there, and I actually danced, and I remember where I went to the old journalism school when I would park in a parking lot that was kind of remote. And every Monday morning, I would get out. I would stagger out because I would work in 60 hours a week at the Waco Tribune Herald my last 3 years there. But I would get out, and as I would walk through the gravel parking lot, I would look down and see remnants of all the students who'd been having sex over the weekend. And so I told people, I said, so Baylor students actually are having sex and on the campus. And so I would imagine there's a lot of celebrating going on the campus. I know they've got a parade scheduled for next week, and it's a really big deal in Waco. And I think it's great for the state of Texas. That graphic that showed, I can't remember what year it went back to, but showed marked by blue of states that won a national championship. And Kansas and Texas now are the only schools west of the Mississippi that had won championships going back over this period. And so I think it's great for basketball in the state, in Waco, and especially at a time when Baylor is raising money for a new building.
Did I hear you right? Did you say the name of the journalism school is the Yellow Journalism School?
No, I did not say that.
What's the name of the journalism school? What is it?
I don't even remember. I didn't say what it was. I thought you said the School of Yellow Journalism.
I was like, my God. didn't expect you guys to confess to it.
I was talking about the parking lot, not the journalism school.
Well, hey, so, John, the breaking news that just came out was that Nike had dropped or suspended Deshaun Watson's sponsorship. I guess – would you expect this to happen now with several of the major names? And I think, especially, you know, given everything that's happened in the last few years with the way corporations handle this stuff, that everybody's just going to try to it almost feels like these companies are going to put Deshaun on the commissioner's exempt list.
I would think that's a great way to put it, Seth. And I'm sure some will drop him. And after the testimony yesterday that was powerful and disturbing and emotional, and so many people saw it, when she read that statement and talked, it was just, you know, gut-wrenching. And I've had people all across the country, media people and just fans who watched it online, talking about it. And as I was reading all the stories we have in the Chronicle, led by our lead reporter, Samantha Ketter, and we've had some fascinating stories on this, including one, I think, yesterday about why victims of sexual assault file civil suits instead of go to court on criminal charges. And so, you know, it's getting a lot of attention among the sponsors. Deshaun has a lot of sponsors. I know he was hoping to get more. And I remember thinking when he first demanded to be traded, that if he went to New York in a trade, and I've always thought that would have been the best place to go, because it would have guaranteed them the second best quarterback to start over on a rebuild. And I'm guessing that would be Zach Wilson from Brigham Young, but if he went to New York, he'd already be the second greatest quarterback in franchise history, and the endorsement opportunities for him up there. But now he's got a lot, and it's going to be interesting to see if more do what Nike did or if they just drop it. But right now there's still so much more to figure out, and this is not going away anytime soon.
Yeah, and again, just to reset, if you're just tuning in, Nike has suspended their relationship right now, the sponsorship with Texans quarterback Deshaun Watson, as John McClain joins us, presented by HornSolutions.net. John, I want to get to some of the potential trade activity and that involves not just Deshaun but other quarterbacks around the league. We'll do that in the next segment, because there is a follow-up I want to ask you about this situation and the Texans. The chairman's letter to season ticket holders earlier this week, I thought, made more than just a passing mention of Deshaun, and then way more than just a passing mention of the team's stance on things like Deshaun is being accused of right now, sexual assault and so forth. What did you make of the McNair's letter to season ticket holders earlier this week?
I thought Cal McNair's statement in that letter to season ticket holders was very powerful about where the organization stands. And that's the first time he's commented before they've had a statement, which was your typical statement about gathering information. And then, of course, the NFL came out and said they want to talk to the Watson's accusers. And Tony Busby said early on, all of his clients would cooperate with the NFL investigation. But I thought Cal McNair had to say something about it, and that was the way to do it. And now they said they will refer everyone to what's been said up to this point until the NFL concludes its investigation, which could be a long time. But I would imagine, because of the severity of the charges and how many lawsuits there are, that they would prioritize it. But the NFL moves very, very slow in its investigations. But this one, I would hope they would put more people on it and expedite it to try to collect as much information as they can, as fast as they can, before they make a ruling. But that could be after the season.
Yeah, John, what – I guess if the Texans decided to move on at some point, what recourse do they have in terms of getting cap relief, perhaps negating some of, nullifying some of his contract? Is any of that clear right now?
No, and I'll tell you this. I do not expect them to cut him. There's no way they're just going to cut him. They're not going to get what they were hoping to get in a trade by April 29th, first day of the three-day draft. You know, once they determined they were going to trade Watson, after Watson had his Zoom call with David Culley, the new coach, and told Culley that he is sticking to his guns, he wanted to be traded, and he would do whatever it took, including sitting out, sacrificing millions in lost income because he didn't want to be back. That's when they made the decision to trade him, and the plan was to do it sometime after the initial wave of free agency. So that would have been what I had predicted around April 1st. And then they had six teams that were seriously interested in Watson. And so if you see what San Francisco did to move up to the third spot to get a quarterback, and they don't even know which one it'll be. And so it looks like they're so desperate to move on from Jimmy Garoppolo, they'll take their choice of Trey Lance, Mac Jones, or Justin Fields. And they paid dearly to get up there. And then Carolina, which was one of the suitors, now they made the deal with Sam Darnold. So that shows they're not going after Watson. So I think all these teams are like Nike. They put their interest on hold, suspended their interest. And so I don't see any way he gets traded before then. And what would be the most favorable for Watson is have Roger Goodell put him on the commissioner's list when they start to get paid the week the regular season begins. And this year it's going to be paid over 36 weeks instead of 17. I have no idea why. But that's when he'd go on the exempt list, where he'd be stay on that until the investigation was concluded, but he would still get paid, because if he holds out, he's going to lose a lot of money. But I just don't see any way they're going to trade him. If I were Casario, I think on like April the 28th, I'd call Jets general manager Joe Douglas and I'd say, hey, Joe, would you be interested in making a trade, Watson for the second overall pick? And that way I doubt Douglas would do it. Maybe his owner, the Johnsons, would not let him do it because of so many things that have yet to be settled. And you know, as everybody said, Watson's innocent until proven guilty, but his accusers deserve to be heard. And now yesterday, two of them were heard, and that was emotional. And so you don't know if more will come forward and be brave like the massage therapist was yesterday. So nobody knows how this is going to continue. So I don't see anybody trading for him, even if Casario were to call and say, I'll do it for a number one pick. I think it's now going to be trading Watson will be a long way off.
All right, the big story in the last several minutes here, Nike has suspended its relationship with Deshaun Watson. We're certainly going to stick with that throughout the show here as John McClain joins us for his weekly visit presented by HornSolutions.net. Also, John alluded to it, quarterbacks on the move and what it means for any chance of moving Deshaun Watson. We'll dig into those trades as well. And what might the San Francisco 49ers do with that third overall pick? All that and a whole lot more with John McClain rolls on next. Sean Pendergast, Seth Payne, along with the General John McClain, the Hall of Famer, brought to you by HornSolutions.net. The big news just coming down in the last 30 minutes or so, Nike has suspended its relationship with Deshaun Watson. And, you know, John, it's interesting. You know, the courts are the courts, so they're going to come up with a determination on whether or not Deshaun Watson did these things. You know, he'll be deemed liable or not liable in a civil court. If it does get to If he reaches the stage with criminal court, then he'll be deemed guilty or not guilty in this whole thing. Sponsors are obviously a different deal, to where Deshaun, even if he's innocent of all this stuff, may have done enough to where they may just feel the perception of even things he's admitted to, you know, doing consensually, could damage or end that relationship. It's going to be very interesting, John, to see how this plays out with Nike and with some of these other sponsors.
That's a great point, Seth, about how companies look at athletes. They have endorsed them. As everybody knows, Nike's at the forefront of all endorsements. I would imagine that Nike spends more money on athletic endorsements than any company. And because they are at the forefront, other companies are going to pay attention to them. If another company, say a lesser company, had done this, then I think people would be waiting, okay, what's going to be Nike's reaction? Mm. And because Nike is at the front, it might make it easier for other companies to do the same things. And I'd love, we won't hear anything from Phil Knight, of course, but when you have a player endorsing your product, you've done studies to see about that player's popularity and how much it would help you to have him as a client. And right now, I can imagine the public reaction. And the court of public opinion is important to these companies when they endorse athletes. And we've seen, I don't remember, and I can't remember, but it doesn't mean it happened, that a play was that they suspended it like that. You've seen some drop players, but I can't remember another one suspending an athlete, especially a company as big as Nike.
Yeah, it's almost, John, like it's, it, you know, the fact that it's a suspension of the relationship, it's almost like Nike, you know, sort of just the optics of saying we're kind of backing away from Deshaun Watson here without you before he gets his opportunity or his day in court. We just want to back away and say, man, these accusations look like something we obviously don't want to be anywhere near. You've touched on this before, John, that if it turns into a slew of settlements for Deshaun Watson and legal fees and things like that, that there's got to be a breaking point where there's a financial component. I mean, Deshaun's made a lot of money, but he's not made, you know, Bill Gates kind of money. You know what I mean? Like where he can just scratch out seven-figure checks and not think anything of it. That's the part I do wonder, too, with this Nike thing, John, is what portion of Deshaun Watson's income and worth is represented through all these marketing relationships that he has?
Now, one thing, it's not cheap to hire Rusty Harden, one of the top attorneys in the country, just like Tony Busby is. That's one thing that fascinates so many people around the country is the attorneys who are on opposite sides and seeing where that goes. And the one thing about Watson, if he held out and they were going to trade him at the trading deadline, he would have to come in and report like Dwayne Brown. You can't be holding out and not get traded. And then to get your contract to not toll, meaning that he would make $10.5 million in 2022 instead of $35 million, he would have to report in December. And so you know he wouldn't sit out like, say, Trent Williams did and miss a whole season salary. And he's one of the other few other guys I can remember who wanted to be traded, and it had nothing to do with money. And usually if it's money, as you guys know, this can be it can be worked out because the team either capitulates or the player does. And in this case, money's not an issue. And if in some point it might become an issue for Watson, and if he does, he's going to have to report because he needs his salary, can't afford to lose millions in income. And then next year when his contract kicks, the first year of the extension, $156 million extension kicks in, he needs that $35 million next year. So as the salary cap ramifications, the Watson income ramifications, that's all to be settled. But common sense tells you no player wants to lose millions and millions of dollars. So would he rethink it, even though he's told the Texans he will never be back? And if he came back just because he needed the money, would they want him under those circumstances? So you use the word fascinating. That is exactly what it will be when it comes to what his situation will be as a player the next time he can get on the field.
You know, I mean, he's allegedly been doing this stuff for over a year. The Sports Illustrated Jenny Vrentis article, I think that woman was probably the earliest, which was well over a year ago. But the bulk of these allegations have been from the last year. So, you know, this would have been before Deshaun signed his big contract with the Texans. But it obviously all came to a head in February when the woman first approached Mulligetta. Do you wonder, John, if perhaps Deshaun had a non-strained relationship with the Texans, at the very least, that this might have been handled differently, that perhaps he would have gone to the team and the team could have given him some support, not to try to brush anything under the rug or anything, but at the very least deal with the seriousness of the situation instead of just trying to brush it off the way that Mulligetta's firm did?
I don't know. According to what was released by Busby and Rusty Harden, the athlete's first company that represents him, they used one of their attorneys. I can't remember his name. It was in both of the releases.
And he was doing Scott Gatfield.
Yeah, he was doing the negotiating. And so I don't know what would happen. You know, if Deshaun Watson and a masseuse are the only ones that know what's going on, then there's no way the team would know what's going on. And but Tony Busby in it yesterday said that he got a massage table on loan from the Texans. And I'm thinking, why does he need a massage table when masseuses have their own massage tables? And then somehow he put it out there, the Texans may have known about it. And if they can somehow even prove something like that, then it takes on a whole different tone. But I did not know that if that to be true.
Yeah, that part of it, John, just to kind of shed light on this, and I'm not saying this in defense of Deshaun necessarily at all, but just like that's not an uncommon thing. Like if you were to say like, oh, some player was going to meet a massage therapist, but it was set up at the last minute and he needed a table, especially when it's your quarterback. That like wouldn't raise my eyebrows at all. I feel like that's one of the weaker parts of Busby's case, that he needs to like stop hinting that somehow because Deshaun was going outside of the facility or outside of the team, that's the norm more so than an exception. I mean, most guys have massage therapists who aren't affiliated with the team.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, taking your own massage table to a masseuse, and most of them that would have their own tables, that's all I'm at.
Going back to
the early 80s, I've known players that could afford to get massages during the week to help them recover from injuries. That goes back since I started covering the NFL. That was something that players, the more money the players have, the more they can spend on it. And that is, as you know, you talked last week about massages you used to get when you were a player to help you recover. But I just thought it was unusual that he would need to borrow a massage table from the Texans.
Well, I guess, yeah. So, okay, a couple things about that. Because for one, I saw some people responding to that like, oh my gosh, the Texans are involved or complicit in this somehow. I mean, if you put yourself, if you're one of the athletic trainers and Deshaun says, hey, I need a massage table, you give Deshaun the massage table. Like, that's as simple as that. And he leaves with it and off he goes. But also a lot of guys, like, I own a massage table because it's a pain in the ass for a massage therapist sometimes to lug it upstairs or put it in an elevator or what have you. So I guess that part of it, again, and I'm not defending Deshaun in total, but it, at least as part of that one part of the story, I don't think that there's necessarily anything suspicious or nefarious about just borrowing a massage table.
Yeah, that makes sense now.
Yeah, and just I'll point out, too, that specific instance that Tony Busby brought up about Deshaun Watson borrowing a massage table, that was a masseuse or a massage therapist that was flying in from Georgia. So, she probably didn't want to drag a massage table. She probably assumed that she wouldn't have to drag a massage table through the airport coming from Georgia to Houston, you know?
Yeah, and I'm not, and again, like, I'm not saying this in defense of Deshaun as much as just saying that, like, this isn't evidence that some people out there read that as, oh, wow, the Texans were in on it somehow, which, okay, you're going to have to show me evidence other than that to somehow suggest that the Texans were in on the bad stuff, the bad activity.
Yeah, no, this is why your perspective on it is so good, Seth. As a former player, you're able to tell us what's normal and what's not normal, and borrowing a massage table from the team is not an abnormal sort of thing, and I think it's worth shedding light on.
Well, it's easier to do if you're a quarterback. If you're like Deshaun Watson, if it was like PJ Hall or somebody, they'd be like, no, PJ, you're not taking the massage table. If it's Deshaun, look, David Carr used to walk out of the stadium with a brand new set of athletic gear every damn day, you know, and nobody's gonna be like, hey, David, bro, you got to bring that stuff back, or if they do, they say it politely. It's a different treatment for quarterbacks.
All right, Amy Dash is going to join us at the top of the hour. She is our legal expert. We'll dig into a whole lot that's gone on, obviously, with Deshaun Watson, these legal cases, and the suspension of his relationship with Nike. That just came down in the last half hour or so. Obviously, a lot of drama has played out over the last several days that we'll get into with Amy Dash at the top of the hour. But we roll on with John McClain, presented by HornSolutions.net. We did not touch on those quarterbacks that have been on the move. Let's see what John thinks of some of these deals that have been made, including Sam Darnold to Carolina. And is there anybody left that would be in the market for Deshaun Watson if a miracle happened and he became available before the draft? That's next. Payne Pendergast, John McClain, brought to you by HornSolutions.net, joining us on the show. All right, John, so to some football stuff, the Carolina Panthers trade with the New York Jets earlier this week. I was impressed by how much the Jets got for Sam Darnold, a sixth and then a second and a fourth next year. I don't know, John, do you look through these trades that get made, the San Francisco move up to 3, the Dolphins doing their bit of maneuvering, Carolina making this deal? it almost feels like there's a dual purpose with these deals, as if to say, well, we're in on this guy and we are no longer in on Deshaun Watson anymore.
Absolutely, because both of those teams showed a lot of interest. Nick Caserio, the general manager, had said thanks but no thanks for a long time. Then he was prepared to start the negotiations, and 49ers had the 12th overall pick. I never really thought that he was going to go to Carolina at 8. Denver's another team that seriously has been interested in Watson at 9. San Francisco 12, Bears at 20. I never thought those teams had a chance, no matter what they offered, because they didn't have multiple number one picks. That's why I always thought the Jets at 2 and the Dolphins at 3 were the most likely candidates to make that trade, because both are loaded in draft capital, and both and the Jets, of course, need a franchise quarterback to start the Robert Saleh era, and they got rid of Darnold. It was interesting when they sent out their season tickets. They had him on the cover of the ticket package, and that came out, I think, last week. And I was really surprised about that. But Darnold now, he's got a lot of talent. I've talked about before the game he played as a rookie in December against the Texans at MetLife Stadium on a Saturday. He played a great game in 2018. Watson played better. The Texans won. And I remember after that game, my friends in the New York media were all just saying, man, they finally found their quarterback. And, of course, being coached by Adam Gase didn't help him. But now Darnold is still 23, and he's going to Joe Brady. And Joe Brady did as well as he could do with Teddy Bridgewater last year. And, of course, he coached Joe Burrow at LSU and worked with Sean Payton and the Saints before he went to LSU. So they're really fired up in Carolina about what Joe Brady can do with Sam Darnold. And you know Darnold's got to be so excited to get away from the Jets. And it is amazing how many quarterbacks picked at or near the top in recent drafts are playing with other teams. Yeah. That just shows you what a crapshoot it is. Yeah.
Oh, it's an incredible crapshoot. And I guess the biggest crapshoot of them all, it feels like, any discussion surrounding Mac Jones. Because now Kyle Shanahan, I mean, the rumors about the 49ers taking Mac Jones are furious, and it's all over the place on mock drafts. And I feel like if any other coach had traded up the trade to try to get Mac Jones, I feel like Kyle Shanahan, maybe five or six other coaches could get away with this. Everybody else would be lambasted, just crushed. So are you buying that the 49ers are definitely going to take Mac Jones?
No, absolutely not, because that started with Chris Sims, who is Shanahan's buddy. They were together at UT. And Chris Sims, and I'm sure Kyle Shanahan's not going to tell his good buddy who's on Pro Football Talk all the time and does talk shows all over the country exactly what he's going to do. But Sims came out and started talking about Mac Jones. And then Kyle Shanahan went to Alabama instead of Ohio State. So that says, well, he likes Mac Jones. And I don't think that says anything. If indeed he's intent on keeping Jimmy Garoppolo for a year, and they're not going to get a number one pick for Garoppolo, but if he is indeed keeping him for a year, then he's willing to let that quarterback sit. The 49ers are not rebuilding. But as somebody pointed out, in four of Shanahan's seasons, it's after how long has he been? 17, like four seasons they've had three losing records, and then they went to the Super Bowl two seasons ago. They're in the toughest division in the NFL, and they want to win it. They want to win it again like they did 2 years ago, and they're not going to do that with a rookie quarterback. So whoever they take right now looks like they're going to sit. And if they don't, that means they're not going to be very good. But I've just working on my second mock draft. We started doing them in a Chronicle last week, and I had them with that one taking Justin Fields. With this one, I'll have them taking Mac Jones. Next week, I'll have Trey Lance. The only thing I will not have them doing is taking Zach Wilson. I'm pretty sure I'm going to get my first two picks right. But as everybody knows, all it takes is one at the top, like the 49ers, to go against the grain. But at least we have an idea of who they're going to take with the third pick, one of those three quarterbacks. But I do not think any team lets it out at this point who they're going to take in the draft.
You know, it's funny, John, that the standards for what a quarterback needs to be as an athlete have changed so much, because Mac Jones, He is not an athlete on the caliber of most of these young high picks at quarterback whatsoever. But people are talking about him almost like he's Ryan Mallett or something. You know, he's got his feet in cement. He ran anywhere between a 4.7 and a 4.8 at his pro day, which again, 40 times don't tell you everything, except that they're talking about his athleticism like it's Tom Brady type athleticism, where he's clearly more athletic than that. He's not a guy that can create, and I think that's almost the bar now, isn't it, in a young quarterback. Most people just want somebody that's going to be able to create something outside the pocket. It's not enough to be an okay athlete. You've got to have a little bit of extra twitch to you.
And then you see quarterbacks like Brady, Breeze, Rivers. Those guys did okay by sticking in the pocket area. And I'm sure if you get that, that's fine. But as you guys know, the most important things for a quarterback is decision making and accuracy and timing, not your arm strength, not how mobile you are. And those are the things that have to come first. You know, Deshaun Watson has become a great quarterback when it comes to those decisions. I mean, those traits, but he didn't just have them when he came into the league. And I think Mac Jones, the fact he came from Alabama, you know, I look at Mac Jones and say, okay, what's the difference in him and AJ McCarron, who won a couple of national championships, or other quarterbacks Alabama's had? And maybe he'll be somebody who goes on and plays great for a long time, like in the old days Alabama quarterbacks did. And where Justin Fields ran into 4.4s, and he's got a great arm, and he showed how tough he is mentally and physically when he played Clemson and got his guts knocked out and came back and played. And then Trey Lance is the one we know the least about because he only played one game last year, and that was the first game, and they did it to showcase him, and he had his worst game of his career. And I saw a deal the other day about how many games these quarterbacks have started in college. And I know Bill Parcells would adjust this, but he used to say he didn't want a quarterback who hadn't started for 3 years because of the experience it gave him. But guys now, because they come out early, usually they just don't start a whole lot of games. And in Jones's place, he had to work his way up the ladder for Nick Saban before he was able to start. So they come in without a lot of experience that's invaluable. And the ones that can be given time, like Patrick Mahomes, who only started one game as a rookie and has been best quarterback in the league since, and Rodgers, of course, for 3 years. And I think it benefits them, but the pressure to play that quarterback is so extreme from fans and media, and owners want to see him. Everybody wants to see him. They're rushed into the lineup. And if these guys are rushed into the lineup, like most of them will be, there's a good chance 3 or 4 years from now we're going to see him with other teams, just like all these others over the last 5 years.
Hey, real quick, Sean, I wanted to fact check myself on Ryan Mallett's 40 time.
Yeah.
I'll give you guys both a guess. Give me a guess on your, what do you think Ryan Mallett's 40 time
say
was, John?
Go ahead, John.
I'll say 4.95.
I'm going to say 4.87.
5.39.
Oh, you nailed it.
So you guys, your standards have changed so much. Brady ran like a 5.3. Like, you think, you know, because I just told you Mac Jones runs a 4.8. You must think, like, wow, super slow for a quarterback, must be 4.9 or something. No, 5.39. That's slow for an offensive lineman. That's what used to get drafted in the second round. Things have changed a whole lot.
That's actually not bad.
What Matt Schaub ran when he came out of Virginia?
He's still running, I think.
I'm guessing he ran fives.
I bet he ran a 5.1, which used to be respectable enough.
Yeah.
That sounds about right.
John McClain brought to you by
5.04 seconds.
There you go.
5.04.
Boy, Seth, good job.
Yeah, yeah, Seth's got the database right in front of him there. John McClain's brought to you by hornsolutions.net. The big news this hour, Nike has suspended its relationship with Deshaun Watson. John, you've been around players for decades now. Where in the circle or the inner circle of a player, I mean, this is significant news. Where do sponsors, in the year 2021, sponsors are, they're damn near family members for a guy like Deshaun Watson. Where does this stack in terms of Deshaun's inner circle backing away from him momentarily here?
I'm not exactly sure. You know, he would have a rep at Nike that he deals with or his people deal with. And I don't know if they have, I'm guessing Nike would have like one person to deal with X number of athletes. Mm-hmm. And if you're somebody like, say, Michael Jordan, and you've made hundreds of millions through the years from them based on everything I've read. You know, you've got Phil Knight's hotline, and you have somebody way up the food chain that you deal with. But most athletes have their people deal with people at the companies. And because Deshaun, he's bought into businesses. You know, he has invested, and he's a spokesman. So when a company like Nike does this, then everybody's going to be on the edge of their chair to see, okay, who's going to be next? Will it be national? Will it be local? And I think that is that we're all going to be watching with not just interest, but it's fascinating to see how this plays out for Watson, because I would think Nike would be the first of several.
Yeah, the poor kids that work at the cheesesteak place, I wonder how they're feeling these days. My God, with all this Deshaun stuff swirling around. John McClain joining us for his weekly visit. Yeah, John, that's an interesting point. You bring up Michael Jordan's the gold standard for Nike. Like, if Nike suspended their relationship with Michael Jordan, you go, holy cow. I wonder when they sit in those rooms up at Nike headquarters up there in Beaverton, Oregon, and they're kind of stack ranking or power ranking the athletes they're doing business with. I wonder where Deshaun sort of ranked for them as a 25-year-old high-performing quarterback in the NFL. Like, where does he stack up in terms of the impact that Deshaun Watson has for Nike? Or is this one where just, you know, Nike suspends a relationship with Watson, but they're a big machine and they'll just keep on rolling, obviously?
And they are a huge machine. They have athletes in every sport all over the world. It's almost mind-boggling to think of a company like Nike that spends as much as it does on so many clients around the world and has brand offices, have to have offices all over Europe because of the soccer players. You know, we think about how much they spend here. They may spend more on soccer players because they have a bigger audience that's worldwide. And so he is one of many, and they like to sign clients where they're young, when they're young, so they can appeal to young people, to try to get young people to buy their shoes so and their clothing so they will continue to do it for the rest of their life. So I have no idea what's going to happen on this, but I do know this. Because it's Nike, it's gotten our attention, the city of Houston's attention, it's gotten the NFL's attention, it's gotten the country's attention.
Yeah, absolutely. Deshaun Watson, Nike suspending their relationship with the Texans quarterback. John, what's going on in the Chronicle this week?
Aaron Wilson and I will have our second mock draft up. We've had two podcasts this week. I did one about those fighting Baylor Bears winning the national championship, and we'll have columns. I'm hoping to have a column this week with Lovie Smith and finally talking to Lovie. I'm hoping they'll have him for Zoom so we can talk to him about the 4-3 and changes have been made on the defense. So we'll have a lot of stories all week, and Samantha Kitterer and our staff that's covering the Deshaun Watson situation from every angle. We've got stories on sports website, HoustonChronicle.com. Guys, thank you very much. And I'll leave you with this. Sick'em Bears.
Yeah, there you go, John. Sick'em Bears. John McClain, college basketball expert. I'm going to add that to his resume as well. He, of course, the Hall of Famer. Brought to you by HornSolutions.net. John, we appreciate the time, as always. Good stuff from John McClain. We need to mention as well here to download that Odyssey app. Bring it with you wherever you go, Odyssey. I think people are getting more and more used to the new name of the company, AUDACY. To bring us with you wherever you go. And as you can tell from the breaking news on Deshaun Watson and Nike earlier this hour, you need to bring us with you wherever you go. Also, I want to make mention of our blood drive going on right now at Sports Radio 610 in conjunction with Gulf Coast Regional Blood Center. It's all week long. If you want to donate blood, you're going to be a hero for doing so, and you're going to get a T-shirt from the Blood Center, and you're going to show your MVP chops by doing that. Donating blood is a very, very worthwhile use of your time, rotating throughout neighborhoods in the Houston area. Here, you can find the one that's coming to the neighborhood nearest you at sportsradio610.com, and you can schedule an appointment as well. We thank you in advance for saving lives, teaming up with us and the Gulf Coast Regional Blood Center. Amy Dash is our legal expert. She's going to join us next. What was the most problematic part of yesterday's proceedings at Tony Busby's press conference for Deshaun Watson? That's next.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.